This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The U.S. Justice Department has confirmed the existence of racial disparity when it comes to violent crimes in Durham. The agency released a report yesterday about crime and policing in the city. It outlines how the city might improve the community's relationship with police and how to cut down on gun-related crimes. Durham asked for the recommendations after last year's scathing report from the city's Human Relations Commission. It showed evidence of racial bias within the police department and noted that while the overall crime rate is down, there's been a spike in gun violence since 2012. The report's results confirm a disproportionate homicide rate among young African Americans, and there is still a divide between the police and many of the people who they protect. WNC's Jorge Valencia joins me now. Hello, Jorge.
Hello, Frank.
Tell us about the origins of the report. Why was it done?
Well, Mayor Bill Bell actually asked the Department of Justice to put together this report to put what they're calling a diagnosis. And it's actually something that the Office of Justice Programs, it's one of their subdivisions, offers to localities, to anybody who wants to improve the law enforcement, offers for free. And so the question that Mayor Bill Bell posed to them was, what can we do to better address gun violence? And so they had a couple of consultants come to the city, interview, I think the number that they gave is roughly 50 people from police department, from schools, stakeholders, people who have been actively involved in addressing violence in the city. And then they came up with a report that they presented this week.
All right. So when
yesterday to community members.
So it was presented yesterday in the city. What did it find about violence? I mean, you talked about a diagnostic, but first you have to sort of report the symptoms. So in terms of statistics, what do they find about Durham?
Yeah, so just I was listening to your introduction just a couple of minutes ago at the top of the hour, and there's a couple of numbers here. One of them is that black males in Durham are eight times more the death of black males in gun-involved incidents is eight times higher than it is in the national average. So that's one number that's pretty stark. The other thing is that the proportion of black and Hispanic males who are killed with guns is much higher than the proportion of the black and Hispanic population of the city. So with black males, we've got that 73% of the victims of homicides through guns are black, whereas the population is 40%. Meanwhile, 24% of the victims are Hispanic. The Hispanic population in the city is 14.5%. So these are some of the number symptoms that they're working with here.
All right. So we see some disparities there. Also disparities noted in the report in the way police see their relationship with the community. Chief Lopez has been on the show and other places saying our relationship is very good, and what we've seen in the press is a distortion of what we believe to be our relationship. And then there are members of the community who feel otherwise. And I guess the report showed that there's quite a distance, quite a disparity between how the police think they're doing and how the community thinks they're doing.
That's right. They outlined, I think it was five findings based on these many interviews that they did, and they see that some of the challenges to addressing gun violence is the way that the community feels that they're involved, that they're a part of the response to some of this violence. And also, one of the consultants who came, her name is Heidi Sazo, she did address this disconnect.
Police also perceive that their relationship with the minority community is improving. But community members, on the other hand, perceive that the police stay in their cars way too much and don't engage with community members.
All right, so there's Heidi Sazow. She's one of the consultants with the Justice Department, pointing to this disconnect between how the police and how the community see their relationship. And Police Chief Jose Lopez, was he there?
The chief was there. And I got a chance to catch up with him as he was leaving the meeting, and I think that his this is something that he's very much interested in, and I asked him about it, basically what his reaction was, and it came down to he thinks that basically that there's there's a disconnect in perception is sort of what the way that he poses it. He says that the police, you know, one of the findings was that the people feel that young black and Hispanic men feel that they're being racially profiled. And the chief says, no, we are not racially profiling people.
I think that there's a lot of perception, and we have to work towards a community trust in order to erode that perception. A lot of that perception comes from history and also comes from things that are happening in other cities, not in Durham. And we address the issues that occur in Durham as they occur. It may not be to everyone's satisfaction, but we do get to the bottom of the issues.
All right. Of course, the Human Relations Commission, as we pointed out, has come up with a report. And in their report, they have shown evidence of racial bias in the police department. Objectively, that's what they found. So the police chief very far and the police very far apart from both that report that shows racial bias and the way the community feels about them. So what does the DOJ think should be done?
Well, they put out a set of recommendations. It's about a half a dozen, and they include increasing the community's confidence in the police department, addressing some of the social barriers that are the factors in young black and Hispanic males being disproportionately the victims of gun violence in the city, and so they're looking at it from like a holistic approach, with the police department being only one of the actors in addressing this problem that is endemic for the community, for cities such as Durham. And one of them is they suggest that more people in the community should be involved in the response to gun violence. So what this program, that this evaluation that was done at no cost to the city at the request of the mayor, the result of it is that they have these recommendations, and they offer help in implementing some of the recommendations. So at this point, it'll be up to city leaders as to whether or not they want to take up the DOJ on that offer.
Very interesting stuff. And, of course, the city of Durham is grappling with issues that cities all across this state and across the nation are dealing with. So we'll take a look. And just to be clear and to be more specific about this, when we talked about the statistics on gun violence, the report looked at black males between the ages of 15 and 34. They are 8 times more likely to be victims of gun violence in Durham than the national average. So it did take a look at that particular demographic. We are talking about the city of Durham today on The State of Things. Jorge Valencia is my guest. He's also the Capitol reporter for WUNC. And we can switch gears now and talk about activities in the state capitol and new abortion regulations moving forward in the House. Tell us about that bill.
Yeah, they're actually debating this. It's on schedule for, you know what, actually they are debating this right now as we speak in the House. This is a proposal that would increase the amount of time that women have to wait in order to be able to get an abortion in North Carolina. It would be increased to 72 hours, to 3 days, up from the current requirement of 1 day. Now, this was presented by the four lead sponsors of this measure are Republicans. They're all women. One of them is Representative Susan Martin. She's a Republican from Wilson County, and here she explained what their motive for this was.
The goals of this bill were really to protect the health of women and to respect women and their choice. So you'll see that it does nothing in here to limit the ability of a woman to choose. But this is a very difficult and permanent decision. And out of respect for the importance of that, we believe that more time is very important.
As Republican Representative Susan Martin, who sponsored the bill that would further restrict abortions in North Carolina, what does the opposition say, Jorge?
Well, the response from some of the Democrats here was pretty strong. So I think that Representative Verla Insko, she's a Democrat from Orange County, she really encapsulated what the disagreement with this measure is.
This is a paternalistic bill. The main problem I have with it is that we are removing a woman's right to have control over her own body. I think that's one of the worst things that happens to a woman is to have someone else make decisions about her body.
So Democratic Representative Verla Insko talking about a bill that would further restrict abortions. It's making its way through the House, but the governor has already spoken out about restricting abortion any further. Where is he on all of this?
Well, it's actually unclear what the governor's plans are with legislation that's coming out of the State House. In fact, he was here earlier this week And it seems like he met with the Republican caucus in the House. These are closed-door meetings. So it's difficult to say what it is that he's hoping for. I think that what the governor is really trying to get at is creating jobs, attracting companies to bring to the state. So I don't think that this is very up in the governor's priorities.
No, but it may end up on his desk, and we'll have to know how he feels about it at that point.
Right.
But again, he's
yeah.
playing it close at the moment. Okay, we've got about 40 seconds left, but there's another proposal I want to talk about. It would make it illegal for journalists or animal rights activists, for anyone, to secretly film illegal activity in private businesses and let us know what's going on there. Tell us about the bill.
Yeah, this one actually was approved by the full chamber in the House yesterday. It's now before the Senate, and it would prohibit people from applying for a job at a farm or any business with the intention of going in there and recording illegal activity that's there. So this mainly would affect activists that get jobs at poultry farms and record maltreatment of animals and then post it on the internet. And this has actually resulted in investigations and in convictions. In 2011, you might remember there was an investigation to a butterball facility in Hoke County, I believe. It resulted in 5 convictions of animal cruelty. So those are the kind of groups that it would affect. This is another state that has been called ag gag bills, and it passed through the House yesterday, and it's now before the Senate.
All right, Jorge. Always a pleasure. Jorge Valencia, thanks so much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Jorge is our Capitol reporter, one of them for WUNC. Just ahead, say cheese. We're going to talk about how we smile and how long we've been smiling with our teeth. Turns out the smile in pictures is not as far-reaching as you think. You're listening to State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.